Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We begin in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
They were gems of their communities and left a lasting impression on the people around them. They inspired us. They served as role models to the youth. We ask that you celebrate the memories of our family members.
That's Suzanne Barakat, the sister of Dia Barakat, speaking at the very well-attended funeral for Dia, Yusor Muhammad Abu Salah, and Razan Muhammad Abu Salah, the three people killed in Chapel Hill. While police in North Carolina struggled with words and legal fine print, hate crime, parking crime, crazy guy, anti-Muslim terrorist, the world, particularly the Muslim community, has moved beyond the crime story from last weekend to a bigger story of silence, of protest, of remembrance, of three brilliant young Muslim Americans struck down by an angry man determined to snuff out their promising lives. A local crime has become a global discussion of tolerance and intolerance in America. The Muslim president of Turkey has criticized President Barack Obama for his silence over the murder of the students. If you stay silent when faced with an incident like this and don't make a statement, the world will stay silent towards you, President Erdogan said on Thursday. There is a feeling across the globe that Muslims are saying enough about something. Could it be this, that hate crimes against Muslims in this country have consistently hovered in the range of 100 to 150 per year? Could it be an absence of Muslim faces in media and culture in America? Familiar signs of marginalization other groups in this country have faced. Is this a watershed moment for Muslims in America? I'm joined now by Nawa Arsala, a second-year law student at American University in Washington, D.C. Also with me is Wajahat Ali, co-host and digital producer of The Stream on Al Jazeera America. Wajahat Ali, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
And Nawa Arsala, welcome to you.
Hi, John.
Would you say that there is a generational discussion of how to respond to this situation in North Carolina that maybe the old guard would say, be quiet about all of this, and that a younger generation has different ideas about how to express themselves in the American democracy, Nawa?
Here, just last night, I went to a candlelight vigil for the victims of Chapel Hill. And my mom, I called her beforehand, you know, this is what I'm doing. And she's like, you can't go. Absolutely not. It's dangerous. Didn't you just see what happened? And then for the younger generation, we identify, you know, as Americans. So all we understand our right to gather and to protest. And for my family that immigrated from Afghanistan, anything like this is terrifying to them. And they just think we should put our heads down, just let it go. But for us, these victims, we can identify so much. They were students like us. They volunteered. They were passionate. They were kind. And this is the first time, like, students here in D.C. and all over America that are Muslim American, we could put a face to some of the terrible things that have been happening right now.
And I'm wondering if this is a Muslim thing, because I'm reminded of the immigrant history in the United States where first-generation folks were very much about being quiet, and that whatever the circumstances of a crime like this, that there is a well-perceived jealousy that exists among individuals in sort of the white community over immigrants who are successful and, you know, going to college and doing exactly what these three individuals were doing. And that can be expressed in a kind of hatred and jealousy. And that's well established in America. Wajahat, would you say?
It is. I mean, you know, my mother, I haven't been doing this for several years. And to this day, she, even about 2 days ago, she said, Wajahat, be careful. You're very public. There's some crazy people out there right now. We're living in interesting times. And there is this mindset of the immigrant community, and it's done out of love and concern. Don't rock the boat. Keep your head down. Just play it straight and narrow. Don't air the dirty laundry. You know, just let a few other people be the loud voices. You be behind the scenes. And it isn't to minimize the tragedy. It isn't to take away your voice. It is out of safety and concern. And as Nawa was saying, it seems the new generation, especially for me, you know, I was a college student in 9/11. This has been repeated baptism by fire. It is a tragedy that forces people to wake up and speak for themselves, to become protagonists, if you will, for their narrative, to reclaim the American narrative, and to be at the fault lines of what really means to be American right now, you know. And we should be the ones who should actually act as agents of healing and change.
And I think because this is a, all right, we've had enough feeling being expressed in North Carolina and around the world. This goes way beyond this incident and this tragic shooting. It seems to me when you say reclaim the narrative of Muslims in America, I can tick off a list of people who have taken that narrative. You've got certain critical media voices, some of which you hear maybe on Fox News. You've got ISIS, who claims they have the narrative of what it means to be Muslim. You've got people like this accused murderer in North Carolina. And you have overtly expressed hatred against Muslims. I'm thinking of some of the crimes against Muslims right after 9/11. Is this protest movement fighting against all of those individuals who would claim the narrative of Muslims for themselves, Nawa?
I think one point I'd like to make is I think the reason why the older generation maybe asked us to keep our heads down was because they were trying to assimilate here. And they understood that to assimilate into the United States, they had to acquire some different beliefs. And they can't act like they're living in Afghanistan anymore. They can't act like they're living anywhere else. They're here now. So for us, we're American. And at this point, we're older now. And we've been silent for so long, I feel like. And things have just progressively gotten worse and worse. And finally, we have a platform. And we have, unfortunately, these amazing three students that have been kind of the poster children for this Islamophobia that we've been dealing with for so long. And the other discussion that was really, really popular last night was in regards to the media. There was this very interesting thing that we have been retweeting and posting on Facebook. It was this algorithm for the news of Islamophobia. It's just this little picture, and it says, well, are the victims Muslim? Yes or no? If they are Muslim, you ask yourself, could they have done something to bring this upon themselves? A lot of people there were saying, you know, how come this question is never asked? That question is only asked depending on the person's appearance or the color of their skin. That's never asked when, you know, if the victims were just white Americans. So a lot of discussion yesterday was anger with the media. Aside from what has happened with the tragedy, it's been more about the coverage on it, let it be the lack thereof, or just how it's been skewed. I mean, I personally, the way I described it was a terrorist killing three American students. And I actually, for the first time, you know, for my whole life, I've been clouded by this idea of being a Muslim and terrorism and this and that. And the first time in my life yesterday, I looked up in the dictionary, what is terrorism? And there is no picture or description of a bearded man or a person wearing a hijab. It just says using intimidation and violence to push political gains. That could be absolutely anybody. That is not a specific Islamic terrorism interpretation. So I think that, you know, the Muslims in America now and the youth, everything is just bottled up for so long, and now we're finally responding.
Wajahat?
Yeah, I mean, what Nawaz says is oftentimes for American Muslims, and going back to your question, our story has been told to us by others, and the story that's been told after 9/11 is that apparently there's a civilizational conflict between Islam, whatever that means, and the West, whatever that means. And if you're not telling your story, John, others are telling it for you. And unfortunately, Muslims as a collective have emerged, if you will, as this global antagonist, especially in America. And what I always say is worse than being even an antagonist is to be a sidekick and to be irrelevant, to be a footnote in history. And I think what Noah was saying is this has not happened in an isolated incident. This tragedy happened in this political, social context where, you know, there's anti-Sharia legislation being introduced in 32 states. I mean, nationwide protests against mosques. We have elected officials like Texas State Senator Molly White, who's making Muslims pledge allegiance to the flag as if being Muslim simultaneously means you're anti-American or your loyalty is perpetually suspect. You know, you have the Charlie Hebdo parachuting attacks. And as a result, you have quote-unquote mainstream people saying, where are the moderate Muslims? They need to apologize and they need to condemn this murder, a double standard that is not applied to anyone else. And so honestly, it's one of those situations where I also blame American Muslims, especially the younger generation and the older generation, because we haven't told our story. Now for the L generation, and I empathize with them, I'm a new father, they wanted safety and success for their children. They had to mainstream through hazing, come to a new country for 2/3 who are immigrants, of course, there's also African-American Muslims, learn a new language, right? Build the American dream. Build your mosque in the liquor shop, go drive 2 states to get halal meat. And you know, you keep your head down, you get made fun of, you get humiliated. And once they made it with the American dream, they said, here is the recipe of success. Everything was supposed to be okay. But you know, things aren't okay right now. And so now you see this young generation who feels just as much as American as they do Muslim. And we're seeing the fissures, the fault lines, the tensions of what it means to be Muslim in America right now. And I think also, what's really profound, what it means to be American in 2015.
Well, it really brings almost a tear to my eye, because you could take out Muslim from everything you're saying, Wajahat, and now put in Irish,
that's
put
right.
in Catholic, put in African-American. I mean, there's the slave narrative in African-American history, but still, you could put all of those groups in there, and it's the same story, and to hear and feel Muslims joining that story is a very, very powerful statement from both of you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John.
Wajahat Ali is co-host and digital producer of The Stream on Al Jazeera America. Nawa Arsala is a second-year law student at American University in Washington, D.C. We sure want you to be a part of that conversation. You can react to anything that's been said on the program at 877-8MYTAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org.